This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello, you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief with Noomi and Harriet. Hi, Harriet.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back to everyone. And also welcome back to you. It sounds like you've had an amazing time away.
Yeah, I had a little holiday, rested, recuperated. So we were away for 2 weeks. But now we are back and ready to dive into this week's tech news that has piqued our interest. So let's dive right in. And as soon as I read this headline, I was like, okay, I have to talk about this with Harriet because I want to know what your opinions are on this. Apparently, more than a quarter of new code being produced by Google is generated by AI. So whilst they're building a bunch of AI products, they're apparently also using AI as part of building those products as well. So the CEO, Sundar Pichai, said that more than a quarter of all new code at Google is generated by AI and then reviewed and accepted by engineers. And he said that on the company's third quarter earnings call this week. So I wanted to ask you, Harriet, as a software engineer, do you use AI when you're writing code?
Yeah, but I think I use it to different degrees. It's probably way easier ways to use AI when coding than I do. Like, there's things like Copilot that you can use now as well. I use an IDE called IntelliJ and to use the Copilot within IntelliJ, which is sort of like the AI sort of generated coding tips and help and stuff, you need a license, and I'm just so lazy I have not applied for that. Still have not been using what I should if I wanted to. You don't have to or do you, but it's like optional. But yeah, like the process is just, for my ADHD brain, a bit tedious, so I need to get that sorted. But what I do use is ChatGPT.
Okay.
And I use it more for refactoring, because a lot of the code I write is like sort of domain specific and like context specific, whereas it's more like, can I refactor this to make it 2 lines instead of 20, or like just talking more about design patterns and models and like what the best way to approach certain things might be, rather than just code me this, please. But I don't know if that's more because I am an Android developer and I'm doing the front end and also a lot of the back end stuff as well. I'm not just writing websites and stuff like that. Like, I am writing services, APIs, and also the front end client, and that's all got legacy code and sort of newer code involved in different languages and stuff. So I do use it, but probably not the same way other people use it. I'd be interested to see how Google are using it, because it sounds like it's still being driven by software developers, right? And then they're just reviewing the code that it writes.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost kind of like a helping hand to do the grunt work, and then someone comes in at the end, yeah, and like tidies it up. I personally think we're kind of treading a line at the moment where there's always this threat, and it's hung over about automation and artificial intelligence for years, of like, it's gonna steal our jobs. But I do kind of believe in these kind of senses. I feel like talking about art and music is a whole other discussion. So in the context of this, I do think AI is gonna become more like a tool.
Yeah, I think it's going to become more like a tool. I think at the moment there's limitations. Like, when I've used it, a lot of AI is, you know, it's based on what is out there on the internet, and it's only as good as the data it has.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes I've found, especially when like looking into maybe some newer Android development sort of libraries, maybe like KMP, which is like Kotlin multi-platform, which allows you to develop certain parts of iOS and Android at the same time, it's given me sort of information that might not be totally up to date or correct, because that's a fairly new way of coding. Some of the libraries or like examples are already out of date that have been given from ChatGPT, for example. Or like if I just put that directly into a project, that wouldn't compile properly because it's just not right. But it does give you a good sort of starting point if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I think you were always going to need to have some sort of coding experience for now to be able to refine it and use it properly. You can't just assume that it's right. And I think that's probably one of the limitations we've got at the moment, which is why I still have a job. but you know what's going to happen. The thing is, I mean, if you can start making your own products and, you know, getting AI to code them for you, I think it's going to change the game in a sense of a lot of people that have good ideas might start entering the arena. So, like, I don't know, for any developers out there, I'd be like, start making your own projects using AI.
Yeah,
because you've got the time now.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think sometimes people get held back because they've got this idea, but maybe they don't have the experience or the classical training. Maybe they didn't go to university and study programming. And I think maybe it's a way to get those new players into the field. Yeah. But I think it needs to be, you know, kind of supplemented. Maybe you can use it to get those building blocks, but you have to then engage with the language.
You have to debug it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If something goes wrong, if you don't understand why, like, it probably isn't going to be able to debug itself at this current point. And also, when we start looking into who owns, you know, the code that's been generated, stuff like that, I would assume at some point, if so many people are developing like apps, for example, or websites using AI, will there be, I don't know, legal ramifications where they're like, well, anything created by us actually belongs to us? Like,
yeah, you
know, we could all start getting a bit wild.
I think,
unless you have the right license.
Yeah, I think the next big discussion that needs to happen with AI is about licensing for like any use, like art, music, coding, writing. At the moment, it's kind of just been like, oh, we let this model look at the internet and have a good go. And, you know, what I think ChatGPT needs to include is references.
Yeah, especially when it comes to music as well, or like even using someone else's voice, right?
Mm.
Like, people are making money off other people's content, essentially. And that, under a normal court of law, would probably be copyrighted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally agree.
So if there are any tech lawyers listening, could we get on with that quickly, please?
Yes, please. I'd like to know where this is going. I mean, the thing is, if coding jobs are going to AI, a lot of the jobs are going to be going to AI too. So at that point, I feel we've got more of a cultural and, like, I don't know, societal crisis where we have to start thinking, like, what are people going to actually do? Like, what jobs do people want? And how much do we want to convert our lives into, like, tech and AI versus wholesome face-to-face experiences?
Yes. But,
yeah.
But perhaps...
It's the bringing it out of disconnects through lots of problems. Damn it.
Every single time. Well, we're definitely back.
Maybe we should move on. Let's go to the next story. Okay. The next story is quite wholesome. So there are paramedic VR driving simulators being used by student paramedics in the West Midlands to perfect their emergency driving. And they're doing this by using a virtual reality simulator.
I really like this.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty cool. It seems like a fairly obvious application of this.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's allowing the drivers to tackle hazards that they're likely to face once qualified, like extreme weather or pedestrians in the road. And I guess you don't want to be practicing that with a patient in the back going 70 miles an hour down a street.
Yeah, and also it's hard to practice that in real life. Like, nobody wants to be the volunteer in that situation for the pedestrian, no. Do they?
So I think this is good. This is a really good application of VR, and it's going to benefit so many people. I'm assuming, like, it doesn't sound like it's just a trial. It sounds like the learners are actually using this.
Mm.
If it goes well, I'm guessing they'll start rolling it out to different universities.
Another thing that I was thinking about when I read this article as well. So it's like, you've got you know, like a steering wheel. You've got pedals, you've got the flashing lights, you've got the ambulance dashboard. So it's like you're sat in the driver's seat of an ambulance, and the seat moves and in reaction to the different scenarios. And then you've obviously got a screen in front of you that's like the windscreen of the ambulance, where you can see the different scenarios. So just so that you can picture that in your head at home.
Right. Hear me out. It's giving gaming. I don't know why. And also, did you ever go on those, like, I don't know, like theme park roller coasters? Where you sit in like a little box and you dance around.
There's
like, you're on a roller coaster.
There's one in the Science Museum in London as well. That's like the spaceship simulator. So I think, you know, this is definitely, I think another application could be something like this, like in the entertainment industry. But I was also thinking when reading this article, could be quite good for like normal people learning how to drive.
Yeah.
Like, let's glow up the hazard perception test.
Oh my gosh. Like, instead of putting, could actually be sat in a vehicle. But like, do you think the UK government are going to pull that out? I'd like to think they would, and they wouldn't be in front of forward thinking tech. Like, I did my theory test, I can't remember how long ago it was, like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was literally just rows and rows and rows of computers and people just clicking away.
Mm.
So it'd have to be switched to, like, I don't know, it looked like everyone's playing like a rally game. Or something like that. Like
just
rows of like car simulation.
It just looks like an arcade.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, could it maybe supplement lessons as well? So you've got driving instructors, you know, you have lessons in a car, but then you also have lessons in a simulator. Because I do think it could be beneficial with these paramedic trainers, they're experiencing stuff like obviously driving at speed, which we wouldn't do as normal drivers, but dealing with pedestrians in the road. There's one guy quoted in the article talking about what to do in the event of a burst tire. Like, I think a lot of the time when you're learning to drive, you obviously don't know what this situation feels like. The first time I got a flat tire, I thought my steering had just gone in my car. Because I didn't know what it felt like. So I feel like something like this, it could teach you. It could be like, this is what your car is going to feel like when you have a flat tire.
Yeah, or actually, and what to do.
Yeah. And it could teach us to be safer drivers.
Oh, get yourself on ChatGPT and get this code in your hand. Sat on a gold mine.
Let me write my proposal to the UK government.
Yes. You know what? But you could even do that, like, without having to be in a simulator, I guess, because you could be using one of those VR headsets.
Mm.
It wouldn't be that same experience.
Yeah.
If you start getting dragged to the side, it'd be like...
Or if you know, had like a headset and controllers and they used haptic feedback in the controllers.
Yeah.
To give that feeling of drag, you know, that's the way to...
Yeah.
Girl, let's do this. Another...
Okay, that's such a good idea.
But this is what I love. This is what I love about stories. And like, when you are interested in technology, it's not just about reading a story and going, oh, that's fascinating. But like, that step further of... Oh, well, actually, what could happen with this? You know, what's the implications? Yeah. What's the impact? How could this technology be used elsewhere? Like, that's what's fun.
It's making me laugh because you can tell we're engineers. It's like these combos. It's like, we can't just have a normal conversation. It always has to descend into, but maybe we could do this. Maybe we could build that. Why do we do this? Oh, my God, no, we're telling everyone our ideas. Quick, stop.
It's like, literally just...
And then suddenly... We need to disconnect and live on an island with no tech.
That's the podcast pipeline for us every single time.
We're like, why do we have a podcast when we want to disconnect? Actually, no, let's carry on reading more tech.
Let's move on to our final story, which I love. And just goes to show that sometimes trawling through pages and pages of Google pays off. A PhD student has found a lost city in Mexico in the jungle by accident.
How do you even do that?
So,
can you explain this to me?
Yeah, so the student is called Luke Old Thomas. He's a student at Tulane University in the US, and he said he was like on page 16 of Google search and found a laser survey done by a Mexican organization for environmental monitoring. So it uses LIDAR, which basically sends laser pulses and maps objects because it is able to calculate the time it takes for the laser to hit, you know, the ground and then be reflected back. So it's able to create kind of like this 3D view. And I think that's what LIDAR does. And he looked through this data. He was able to use techniques used by archaeologists to process the data and found an ancient city underneath the jungle, the vegetation and the earth. And it looks like it could be second in density to Calakmul, which is the largest Mayan site in ancient Latin America. So this isn't like, oh, I've found a couple of buildings. It's like, this is big. It's apparently got pyramids, sports fields, causeways, amphitheaters. Like, it's huge. It's just been sat there this whole time. And like, what I love about this as well is it is such a fabulous PhD story of, oh, it's just...
He's going to, like, get a good mark for this, isn't he?
Doesn't have to do anything else. Right, okay, what am I going to do to have a novel contribution to knowledge and understanding? Oh, I've discovered a new city. Done.
I bet like his tutors thought you made it up, and they're like, you know what I will say though, someone's definitely going to get ChatGPT on the job now. Daniel's just, like, it's gonna happen.
It's just like, show me all LIDAR results. Ever. I just love that, and I think, you know, it's not like a new innovative method. It's just the classic case of sometimes researching is reading lots of information and finding something.
It pays off. And it definitely did in this case.
Now I'm just going to spend the rest of my day Googling and seeing what I can find.
Can we discover an ancient civilization somewhere? That'd be cool. I feel like you'd have to find somewhere of some part of the earth that's not been looked at much. So I guess he looked at by choosing that area.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be really interested to know what his Google search was.
To try and like come up with that. I've been sat there for ages. Can you imagine him at like 2 a.m. in the morning, a few Red Bulls in? Am I seeing this pantry? That's right.
I've discovered a
city. And then just not believing himself. Yeah. And then showing his friends. Oh my gosh, right. Do not laugh at me. I can't even remember what it's called, but there's like some guy that I think he's like a conspiracy like archaeologist. I don't know if he's true or not. It's like some show on Netflix at the moment where he goes into like ancient civilization. Ancient apocalypse.
Mm.
The Americas. So this is right there.
So
I'm sure it'll be on one of his conspiracies at some point.
Yeah. it didn't want to be found, something like that.
Aliens put that in his Google search result because they thought it was time.
Yes, I think that's a great note to end on. Let's just end with an alien conspiracy.
Yes, why not?
You've been listening to Tech Girl Energy. Thanks so much for tuning in. Remember, you can follow us on our socials.
Tech Girl Energy, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, we're all over.
Come find us and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.